start with Catherine, to respond to Catherine very quickly. There are problems with the limitation period, clearly. There are problems with identifying the class of defendants and therefore identifying the claimants. The point was made a little earlier, I think, that if you could limit the class of defendants very narrowly, then you could also limit the class of claimants. The question is, of course, is this just? Is it equitable to all those who have suffered at the hands of slavery? So there is an issue there, a limitation. And also the question of identifying illegal acts. Most of these acts weren't illegal at the time, and that is an issue for litigation in terms of presenting an effective case. The other thing I think that's come up through listening generally also to what was heard before, and of course the stories of what happened over the period and an impassioned argument for lobbying the Pan-African movement, but the issue of trade, which hasn't really been discussed here, to what extent could we have remedies in trade available through institutional trade institutions, for example the WTO or the IMF? Now, people will be, some in the audience will be very much against mixing human rights with trade. However, the point that was made by Ambassador Dalba on the Universal Periodic Review seemed to me to be a very salient point. The idea of an additional commitment, and perhaps we could get maybe a little response from the panel on this in time, but the idea that the United Kingdom and the United States, seen as the greatest nation states behind the perpetration of slavery, is one thing. Both are Christian nations. The General Synod has formally apologized for its role in slavery and owning a plantation with slaves. In the House of Representatives, we've heard of apologies at the level of the Senate as well, in the United States Congress. We have, for the first time in history, an American president who has African roots. So the political argument for bringing, if you like, a moral case for a change in trade seems quite strong. If, for example, we think of what happened with the TRIPS agreement, an amendment to the TRIPS under paragraph 6 of the Doha Declaration was brought about through grassroots litigation, effectively, Amnesty International and so on and so forth, to allow generic drugs to be made available in developing countries at much cheaper rates. Now, that was through grassroots lobbying, effectively. So there are two arguments here, perhaps a double pincer movement for political involvement, a political argument to be made perhaps for a trade remedy, and that is to coerce nation states, United States, United Kingdom, to propose an additional commitment through the Universal Periodic Review for a remedy that would allow, for example, for tariffs on goods that are exported from African states that have suffered slavery to generally enjoy preferential treatment. Now, there you have a combination of trade and human rights, and that would be an interesting argument to have, but perhaps on another point. So, we have also, the European Commission at the moment is debating the whole position of economic partnership agreements. The president, the French president, Sarkozy, called for an examination and a relaunching of the economic partnership agreements. And he asked a left-wing member of the French National Assembly to look at economic partnership agreements. And effectively, what came out of that was a definition of what we mean by development. What do we mean by development? And effectively, the argument went is that we need to redefine what we mean by development within trade treaties. So, for example, formulating a joint, an equal definition of development and the processes which may contribute to that development. Earlier, Kate and also Marika and Madge Dresser made points about the descendants of slaves. Many descendants of slaves were saddled with a legacy of poverty, as their ancestors were forced into a life of poverty without adequate compensation. We were talking about the expatriation of thousands of people from Africa to the Caribbean and to America, effectively leaving us with a legacy of developmental issues in Africa. How can we have development if the wealth and the people to bring it about have been affected so drastically by the ramifications of the slave trade? So, in terms of talking about an economic response, again, this lends argument to the fact that perhaps we also need to look at trade and not just litigation. Litigation is a means by raising the public profile, by effectively bringing a moral and ethical basis for governments to act, but in actually delivering a remedy that will benefit a class of people, and not just a narrow class of people, which may be difficult to define through the litigation process, but a wider group of people, that trade might be a way forward. So we've had a long day, and I'd like to end with that, and to thank the speakers again for their very good deliberations and impassioned lobbying presentation. So, thank you.
That's great. Thank you very much, Rohan.